Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Knight School District Board of Education meeting, Tuesday, January 24th. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Do we have a motion to approve the agenda?
Motion.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Motion carries. President's report. Just wanted to say, I, together with two of our trustees on the board, attended the Perfect Storm meeting at the Nyack Seaport this week, which was put on by Okada. It was inspiring and enlightening. We had a very informed panel, and I want to thank Donzella Mulligan from our school district, who was on the panel, and to Lisa Ritalik, who, as part of Okada, helped arrange it, and our own Gail Flores, used to be in the district, who was a part of this. And I want to thank the panelists. You know, if you've got parents, tune into Okada. You know, I think I know what it takes to guide my kids, keep them on the straight and narrow, and there's always something you learn at these events. And I'd like to just put it out there to the community. The turnout was spectacular. We even had kids in the audience. I dragged my two kids to it. And then they were actually pretty spellbound. I didn't know whether that was a good or a bad thing, but they were spellbound. There's talk about bringing the panelists back into the school district to talk to high schoolers, middle schoolers, and I think if we can make that happen and continue this push, it'll be a really good thing. So thank you very much to everyone who did that. Just want to say thank you to our administration here at Nyack Middle School for hosting us and the hospitality. The grapes were wonderful. Thank you very much. And to the PTA, I assume, who also assisted in the effort. So thank you. And that's my report. Dr. Montesano.
Yes, just very quickly, I did have the pleasure of attending over at Upper Nyack this morning their annual talent show, and there certainly is a lot of talent at Upper Nyack. I also really want to commend the principal, our school principal, Ms. McCore, who was out ill yesterday and really should have stayed home today, but managed to get himself to the school today to make sure that he was there with the kids. And also, just as a quick FYI, and Indigo can assist me, a while back, I don't know if the board recalls, there was some interest in having coffee available at the high school for students. Many of the students do purchase coffee, bring coffee to school on a regular basis. This would add an inconvenience. It would ensure that the kids are not maybe held up, you know, at a store in the morning. Carlene has worked with Aramark, who are, you know, is able to provide it. I think they met actually with the student council. And I believe are prepared to move forward. So I just want to ensure that the board is in agreement with the concept, and certainly we'll report back if we have any issues that we think, you know, is problematic and not working. I see at least
coffee
one or
good.
Two heads nodding.
It's fine. Coffee.
Yes.
Oh, I'm
still
looking at him.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay.
Caffeine.
And this is just for the high school, right?
High school.
Yeah, no.
No, no, no,
going to middle school.
So the staff would mind at the elementary or the middle school. But, so. Thank you. That's my report.
Great. Thanks, Dr. Montesano. Our student representative for Indigo.
Okay. So very little to report on. This week is midterm week, so the school is very quiet. But one cool thing is that the junior class is going to be doing the color run again, which is basically a little kind of a half marathon, I guess. It's very short, where they throw colors at you. And it's a lot of fun. We raised a lot of money last year, and something that I love a lot because that was something I initiated. So it's really nice to see the tradition carrying on to the next class. But that's my report.
Great, thanks. We're good. Moving right along. New board member reports. Trustee Marshall. Sorry.
Sorry.
President Hughes. I was trying to turn my phone down. First of all, I want to echo what Karen said and thank you to the middle school for hosting us here tonight and for the wonderful treats. Thank you for that. Thank you to our teacher assistants who are here tonight. Good to see you all. My report wanted to highlight just something from The Perfect Storm. I never got around to asking Lisa why it was called The Perfect Storm, but then once I participated in the event, the very notion that we live now in a society, one of the things that at least resonated with me, where young people in your generation and ago are always on because, you know, social media, whether it's Snapchat, Facebook. And there was a very palpable moment when a young man at 28 years old who's in recovery explained very palpably to the audience that was present that the one pressing question of the night, this one man asked him, it's like, his name is John, what would you say to everyone here in terms of if you could leave something? He said, there is definitely a progression when it comes to substance abuse. And it just stuck with me. He said how he started with, you know, marijuana. He goes, I can tell you there is definitely a progression. The second thing he said was that as parents, you're your kid's parents. You're not your kid's friends. And it really, that hit me as well. So I want to thank Lisa Donzella, the entire panel, the two noted professors that were there, John, and our own India Perez Urbano, who is a Harvard graduate and is running a program, Project Connect. I have one of her cards that she developed, and it provides resources to any young person who's looking for resources. She was just phenomenal, and she's a perfect example of a student who's graduated from NIAC, has come back and is giving back. So that was a fabulous event, and it was good to see a lot of board representation there. The second thing I want to highlight, I was at that event, and Dr. Pratt came up to me and gave me, as we all know, the NAACP dinner is coming up as soon as April. But in that packet, she clipped this piece regarding Ellen Jaffe that I was going to share. And I was watching the CBS Sunday morning, and they were highlighting Viola Davis. And if you don't know, Viola Davis, and I didn't know, came from abject poverty. Mm-hmm. And she is now most likely up for an Oscar nomination for Fences. One of the things she said in her piece, and it will relate to what I'm going to share about Assemblywoman Jaffe, she says, when you are poor, no one sees you. And I think about many of the poor that our district serves, students who get to school early, as Principal Johnson shared with me most recently, that's breakfast for those students. And it just hit me very hard. So this piece is just an announcement that Ellen Jaffe announced her appointment as chairperson of the Assembly Standing Committee on Children and Families. Mm-hmm. The issues children and families face, especially those children living in poverty, are community issues, Jaffe said. The child care crisis in New York State is one of the major obstacles to self-sufficiency and financial security for New York's low-income working families, and in particular, working women. Indeed, research indicates that quality early learning and development programs like roads and bridges are part of the infrastructure of economic development in a stable, thriving community. And I just want to commend our district, and our entire district staff has brought so many programs that I, you know, numerous to name, but, you know, thank you to our district and our board for supporting these programs that help our children living in poverty. So I wanted to share that. And then SOAR. SOAR is, Dr. Montesano, if you wanted to share SOAR is a program here at the middle school. It's a year-long program that meets 2 days a week for 2 hours, Tuesdays and Thursdays between 3 and 4. And the first hour is tutoring hour, where students complete their homework. And during the school hour, students engage in, and in the second hour, the students engage in educational lessons. So there are three pillars. It's a program that was funded by Assemblywoman Jaffe and Assemblyman Zabrowski. And they just were recently granted another $20,000. The initial grant amount was $10,000. I had copies for board members, and I also have a picture too, but you would pass that down. The three pillars are academic excellence, personal development, and community engagement. And if anyone here tonight knows, if you know someone that can volunteer 2 days a week from 3 to 5, former board member Claudette Clark is a volunteer. There are a number of volunteers that show up, but these are some of our students that could really use this home of help, this mentoring, just someone who really, really cares. And I've only been volunteering for 2 weeks, and it's had a major, major impact on me. And I'm so grateful to our local legislators for supporting SOAR. But if you know anyone, here's the picture, if you want to share that as well. In that picture is many of the students that are still in the program. And they come regularly, they come faithfully. And it's a really, really great program. And again, thanks to, you know, the local legislation in our district and to our middle school for supporting SOAR. Mm-hmm. And then lastly, just to highlight this letter that went out to our faculty regarding the March 3rd through 5 Undoing Racism workshop. I thought this letter was so poignant, I wanted to share it, but it's announcing the Undoing Racism workshop, which President Hughes, myself, about 20 of our faculty and our superintendent and our assistant superintendent, Dr. Gregory, attended. And it was so powerful. Maya Angelou said, "I did then what I knew how to do. Now that I know better, I do better." And on the weekend of October 30th, 13th, I attended this workshop. We can take pride in being part of a district that includes principles of equity, innovation, and optimism in its mission. And ultimately, we must work together to ensure that every child has an equitable chance to succeed. This means taking a good, honest look at our own beliefs and biases. It means developing an equity lens through which a common perspective and language can be applied. If you are able to go as a member of our faculty, it's 3 days. It'll go by like it was a day. You don't even feel the 3 days. But some of us heard for the first time what we admit we did not know before about systemic racism. Some of us heard in a historical and societal analysis that provided validation for what we live each day. So I would encourage anyone and anyone on our board, if you haven't had a chance to go, please go. And that is my report.
Thanks very much. I appreciate the comprehensive report. Trustee Bender.
President Hughes, just a few quick items, and then we can move on to the other trustee reports. Had a great time at the VCE grade 3 through 5 concert. The music department is coming along. I think the pipeline of vocalists and musicians, instruments, strings, I think seems strong. So that was a good time. I sat with Trustee Mark. We had a few laughs. We
sang a little bit,
right? They called up some alumni. The very last song, seems like it's been a tradition to do the Hallelujah.
Hallelujah chorus.
The Hallelujah chorus at the end. So that was a nice moment. I took it in from the seats. I chose not to sing on that occasion, but nonetheless, it was good to see. And then I went to bingo night on Friday night, which also was another good event run by the PTA. Kids seemed to have a great time. The turnout was fantastic. The gymnasium was packed. You make a small donation to the bake sale, and you get to take whatever you want. So that was, that worked out well. But other than that, I look forward to seeing what else is on the district calendar and attending more in the next month. So that is my report.
Great. Thanks very much, Hugh. Trustee Mark.
President Hughes. Good evening, everybody. Once again, thanks for the hospitality. The administration, welcome to the TAs and to parents that are here. Very brief report. I spoke a little bit at the last meeting about my concern. I sit on the 21C board. There was concern about the nonprofit losing its funding and how important 21C is to our district and all the districts in the county, family resource centers and so forth, and other nonprofits that have been denied funding. There was an email that went out about some legislation that Harriet Cornell put forth that passed. It said the county executive neither signed nor vetoed the resolution passed by the legislature to fund Rockland 21C and the other 32 nonprofits from January 1st to June 30th, 2017, which means we'll receive funding for the first 6 months of the year. And then Harriet Cornell followed up with saying that the legislative majority will be working to ensure funding for the second half of 2017 and beyond for all the public benefit agencies. It's very good news. We, of course, don't know what's going to happen in the future. Those nonprofits that do a tremendous amount of very focused work for people who are really in need for relatively low cost are constantly under pressure about losing their funding. It was restored again this time, and that's good news for all of us. And I thank Harry Cornell and the people on 21C, and I'm happy for everybody in the district. And that's my report.
Michael, hadn't we agreed at the last meeting that we would do a letter? I thought we had.
Yes, we did. And I had reached out to Becky Christner, I think, is the executive director. I gave her a gist of the content of the board's wishes and desires, which she assured me would be passed along. At the same time, we were aware of what had taken place. Still send a formal letter. Honestly, the tone of it's going to be a little bit different, just in terms of more of an appreciation and a desire to look into the future of what the next steps will be.
Yeah, I think it'd be nice to follow up as long as we were going to do it with a letter of appreciation to Harriet and to Becky Christie.
Will do. It'd
be great.
Yeah.
Great.
Trustee Rock.
Thank you, President Hughes. Small report this week. Again, welcome to all the TAs that are here. Nice to see faces that I'm very familiar with. So looking forward to seeing you all throughout the year. Also, congratulations to Liberty Elementary School, had their winter concert as well on the 12th. Good luck to all the high school students, one of which are mine, that are taking midterms this week. So I see my son face buried in the book. So great job to with the administration and teachers getting those students prepared. So big news there. Lastly, I think I mentioned this the last board meeting, but March 25th is Inspire Niagara's 10th anniversary event. Tickets are on sale at inspireniagara.org. So hoping to see a lot of faculty and staff out there and board members, those who can make it. I know someone will be attending the convention for NASBA, so we will toast on your behalf. Mm-hmm. And that's all I have, President Hughes.
Thanks, Trustee. Trustee Maraschino.
All right, well, thank you to the middle school. Welcome to the TAs. I have a really short report. I was just thinking of one thing, James. Thanks for sharing all that information about SOAR. I wanted to mention that a few months ago, I had asked SPAL, the St. Paul's Athletic League, if they could give a complimentary spot to one of our middle school kids, and they were so happy to do so. So I'm just kind of putting it out there because, you know, SOAR may have thought of all of this already, but SPAL was really happy to give that complimentary spot. And I bet Niagara Valley Cottage Little League would be as well. And I think it's sort of in the midst of sign up time. So I don't know how to even facilitate that, but I'm just kind of putting that out there if you're talking to anyone in the program.
You should reach out to Adal Regis.
Okay.
He's the one of the co-founders. And I can send you his email.
Okay. Send it to me if you have it. Just that'll make it easy.
Yeah.
Thank you. So I'm looking forward to attending the Undoing Racism workshop in March. I can't wait. I was going to talk about Perfect Storm, which was great, but I think we said enough about that. It was wonderful. And the talent show at Upper Nyack. I saw tons of great clips on all over Facebook today. So even though I couldn't be there, I felt like I was there. I wanted to mention I did get to attend the Martin Luther King Day celebration at the Baptist Church in Nyack. At the last board meeting, I had mentioned a completely different celebration in Ramapo, which I couldn't make. But then I realized we've got this great celebration right here at the Baptist Church. It was great. Tons of great singing, some great preaching. There were a lot of politicians there. So I'm thinking it might be something to just get on our radar for the future. You know, I don't know, not to say there was a lot of politicians there, and that's why I should go. I was going because it was a great event to be at. Just something to kind of keep on our radar for the future. It's a work day for a lot of people, but it was a great local celebration that I really enjoyed attending. And that's about it for me.
Thanks very much, Tim. Last but not least, Trustee Urban.
Good evening. Thank you to the middle school for hosting us. And I just wanted to give a personal shout out to the administration of the middle school for helping with the midterm scheduling that was going on at the middle school. My daughter had, I think, four tests in 2 days or three tests in 1 day. And I noticed that there was some parents reaching out to the staff to try to help organize that. And I guess that was taken care of. And I just appreciate how quickly and swiftly you responded to that issue, having been up studying with my kid till 11 o'clock that night. Thank you for your help. I did want to give the board a brief update on what's going on with the Rockland County School Board Association, as myself and Jen are your designated representatives. The legislative breakfast that was supposed to have taken place on the 21st got canceled because, ironically, we didn't have a lot of our legislative representatives available. So we opted to cancel it rather than have just a couple of them be there, and are looking at new potential ways to accomplish that instead of doing this breakfast. I mean, the last 2 years prior to this year, we ended up canceling it because of weather problems. So probably likely next year, it'll be earlier in the year. Probably do it sometime between Thanksgiving and Christmas, especially now that it appears, you know, Cuomo's getting better about turning in his budgets earlier. And so the budget discussions are actually taking place a lot earlier than that. So I'll keep you advised on what's going on with that. They're also really emphasizing shared information services, which are, shared information sessions, which are opportunities that different members of the various school districts can get together and talk about and highlight topics. So we're going to try to push those out and make those more available. And anyone, our PTAs, our staff members, that kind of thing, people, anybody can attend these things. So I will keep you posted on those things. Also, there is potentially a letter in draft right now to send to Governor Cuomo about his proposed change of language regarding foundation aid. He has apparently put some language in his current budget that's changing somewhat the guarantee of foundation aid, and they want to sort of indicate that not only should this be a consistent thing in his budget every year, item in his budget every year, but he was still harping on the fact that he owes all the school districts so much of it already.
$1.3 billion.
Yeah. So the letter is currently being drafted, edited, etc., but at some point, probably in the next week or so, that's probably going to come to the attention of the board, and the NIAC school board will be asked to sign on to that letter asking that Cuomo not cut foundation aid. Okay, and I think that's basically it. That's my report. Thank you.
I just had a question. Can you give us some background on foundation aid in terms of?
Yeah, I was going
to. As opposed to gap elimination. Are you going to do it?
The budget is in the workshop. I can do it now, or we can wait till workshop.
Let's do it in the context of the goal.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Yeah, I think that.
Okay, good. Trustee Moore.
Just one more sentence, and while we're reminding people of upcoming events, at some point, get out your cell phones and your calendars and draw a little heart around Valentine's Day. That's the day that there's a budget vote for the libraries in the NIAC school district. And you can show your love and support of education and books by going and voting. You vote at the libraries, either NIAC Library or Valley Cottage Library. There's also an information session at NIAC Library on February 7th, the Tuesday before. We can get any information you want, and you can go to the websites to find things out. If you have questions, I know some things. I'm on the Valley Cottage Library Board, too, and don't forget to vote. February 14th, Valentine's Day.
Thank you very much.
I feel the love.
I feel the love. Dr. Montesano, are there any responses to citizens' prior proposals, questions, and concerns?
There are none.
We've got to shorten that sentence. Yeah. Are there any citizens' proposals, questions, and concerns? At this point in time, if anyone would like to speak, this is your opportunity. No? Do we have a call? Anything on the list? We checked? Nothing? Okay. Okay, Dr. Montesano, any citizens? No. Any citizens' proposals, questions, and concerns on the workshop items? No. Dr. Montesano.
At this point, I'm going to call upon Audrey Cabell, who is our director of our bilingual programming in the district, who will provide the board with an update of the status of our programs. I think you'll see a very significant growth in that student population. And without stealing any of her thunder, I'm going to limit my remarks and introduce Audrey. The board is may want to do a 180.
Is it in the board? Is it in board docs?
It is.
It is in board docs. If you prefer to use it through that avenue.
It's a very nicely animated presentation.
Superstars, rock stars. I have to hold it close. Sorry. I already told you I was going to call you. Are we all set? Ready to go? I'm going to go through this presentation as quickly as possible so everyone gets home safely. But what I wanted to do was basically recap and talk about what I presented in December of 2015, where we were, our numbers. As you can see, the district total of English language learners is 244 students and various language proficiencies. These are the amounts. In previous years, again, I presented this in 2015, December 2015. We went from 159 to 185. We ended the year at 251 last year. We are at 319 this year and counting. I actually had to change the presentation and add two more students. Two days ago.
A quick aside, you know, if you do the calculations from 3 years ago, 4 years ago, it's literally 100% increase in our population. We doubled our population in that amount of time for students that are receiving ENL bilingual services.
Absolutely. And one number that stands out most, and I'm sure it does also for Kelly, who's been in the district a lot longer than I have, is the number of entering level students. And as I explained last year, entering level are students that come in with absolutely no English. So we have 74 students. Last year it was 57 students. So this year we have 74 students, and again the population is growing. And here is the visual of the increase in numbers. And I'm sure by the end of this school year, we have a couple of months to go in the school year, it will increase again. Last year presented were the goals, comply with CR Part 154, which is the regulations for English language learners. And I'm just going to go over really quick some of the things that has been done as a checklist. So we are in compliance with CR Part 154 now. We do offer bilingual education, which was part of CR Part 154. We also have more staff available for the students. We have teachers being supported in the classrooms, teachers being supported outside of the classrooms. We also have changed and updated the identification and placement process, which was a big part of what happened last year. And what that means is when a student comes into district to register, they don't speak English. We now orient the student and the parent as to what is happening in the district, what is available for them. They have a clear understanding of bilingual programs. They have a clear understanding of what ENL services are and what they're entitled to. The parents are informed of state regulations. They're informed of Common Core. They know all the information firsthand from myself and also from Yesenia Polanco, and because the majority of the students that are coming in are Spanish-speaking students. Parents are also given the state information, and all of that's available on our website as well. So we show them the website and all that information that can help assist them at home. Okay, another thing was the hiring of new staff in the middle school and in high school levels. Increase of programs for English language learners. We had the Saturday STEM program for the students, which was extremely successful. We have the after school programs before school. The summer program was also STEM-based, excellent program. And I invite you all to look at the website. There's pictures there of these programs. SIFE and newcomers program. That is something that's still in the works, okay? We are in the process of including a SIFE program here at the middle school because the population is increasing. We have two teachers that are designated as SIFE teachers, one in the middle school.
Oh, can you just take a moment and sure. give them all the information about what SIFE is?
Oh, I apologize. You know why? Because I reviewed it in December. I reviewed SIFE last year, but
sorry,
it's students. I'm sorry, students with interrupted formal education. And these are students that come into NIAC Public Schools with limited schooling. So they had some schooling in their home country. They come into NIAC schools. There might be a gap of 2 years, 3 years. In our high school level, it's more than 7 years of schooling. So we have to try and get them proficient enough in their native language and also in English. Okay. So we do have two teachers that are designated as SIFE teachers, one in the high school, which is Judy Espinal, and she was hired last year, and Ray Lopez here. In the middle school, there are two students that are classified as SIFE, and they have a 3-year, 4-year gap. And in the high school, we have more than 14. We have a whole class. In elementary, we don't have any. And the implementation of programs such as Rosetta Stone to help with children's social language, that's something that we have as well. We work very closely with families. I have a lot of relationships with the families where I call them to check in, make sure that the program is effective for them, their families, how is it working. They can call me at any time. I've actually become the attendance office because they call me to let me know when their child is not coming to school, and I appreciate that. And all of that information is communicated to the schools. Let's talk about specifics of elementary level. So we have 5 ENL staff members, 3 bilingual teachers, and 2 duly certified members of the staff, which means they are certified in ENL and also in elementary education. So these teachers have students in their classrooms, the duly certified teachers. They have students in their classrooms that are ENL but do not need the extra support from ENL teachers because they are already certified in that area, which is extremely helpful to the district. Liberty offers transitional bilingual ed programs for K-1 and 2, and they are successful. I'll talk a little bit more about that. Implementation of native language programs, which is support in Spanish. So now we have textbooks for students who are proficient in their native language in Spanish. We support students who are duly classified ELL, which is English Language Learner, and special education, because we do have students that are duly classified. We have after-school programs for the students, enrichment programs. We also have the Saturday STEM programs. We will have the summer program. We give support to the general ed teachers by ENL teachers going into the classroom and supporting the students in the general ed setting. So they work with the general ed teachers, provide support to the general ed teachers and the students. We have English and Spanish language assessments, and that's key because we want to make sure that the students are proficient in both in the bilingual program, and also we want to have an understanding of what they know in their native language because it helps support what we teach them in English. Software tools, we have an additional software tool, which is Achieve 3000, which is something the district has used in the past. but it's a great tool for English language learners. And support to the staff. What I do now is I can't be everywhere. So I do a lot of professional development virtually. I do it through Google Classrooms. So I have several Google Classrooms going on right now for different departments. So I have a social studies department Google Classroom. I have an ENL Google Classroom. So there are many supports that are going on because the needs are different for each department. I want to talk a little bit about data. One thing that I'm big on is data and making sure if programs are effective or maybe there's some adjustments that need to be made. There are 6 students in the district, their parents opted out of bilingual ed. I compared those students to the students that did opt for bilingual ed. What I looked at was their NICES SLAT score. The NICES SLAT is the New York State assessment that's given to the student at the end of the school year, which tests language proficiency. So I looked at that score. I also looked at the Fontes and Pinnell, which is the benchmark assessment that we give, the reading assessment. It's given in Spanish and in English. And I also looked at the STAR assessment, which is another assessment that we used to give last year to check on math and reading. So looking at all of that data of the 6 students that opted out of the bilingual programs, 3 of the students, their scores dropped. In the language assessment, their F&P scores also dropped. 2 of the students, their scores remained the same. And 1 of the students increased out of those 6 that opted out of the program. If you look at the students that are in the bilingual program, the majority of the students increased in language proficiency. Okay, and they also increased in their F&P in both English and Spanish. So in the beginning of the year, they were all beginning readers in Spanish, but they went up levels in Spanish as well. And the same with the STAR assessment. One little girl in particular stands out. She came in and she did not speak any English at all. Her STAR assessment, she went up 400 points. Not only did she go 400 points, she went from entering level to transitioning. And students normally do not jump that high. And that's from, and she's in the bilingual program.
Just a quick question. Sure. So I love data too. Is that is that something that we share with the parents of the kids that were opted out of the program? Hey, look, you know, things sort of have been a little bit stagnant, but look at the folks in the group and look how far they've come.
It has not. And here's the reason why, because they're choosing to opt out of bilingual program wasn't because they didn't believe in the program. It was for other family situations.
Got it. Thank you.
In the middle school level, okay, we have 3 English as a new language staff members. So we added 1 in the middle of the school year last year. We have 2 sheltered classes. And what sheltered classes means is we have a teacher that's duly certified. One of the ENL teachers is certified in 1 through 6 common branch. So she teaches 6th grade ENL and ELA in 1 period. And she does math as well. She also co-teaches for math in 7 and 8 as well, so she supports them. So the all 3 teachers do support the content area teachers as well in a co-teach model. We also support the dually classified students that are in the special education setting. We have the after-school program, and the after-school program, right now it's a homework club, but it is changing. It is changing to a more content-rich club. Okay, the implementation of a new curriculum that's specific to SIFE students. New York State has a SIFE curriculum and a SIFE program that the 2 teachers that I discussed before have been trained, fully trained in. So they are implementing this SIFE curriculum in the middle school and at the high school level. We also have the independent reading level assessments. I apologize. We use the software tools also here. At the middle school, we use Rosetta Stone and Achieve 3000. We also have support for the staff via Google Classroom. Saturday STEM program in the spring. Again, I invite you to look at those pictures. Majority of the students are middle school children that did attend, and we encouraged them to attend. They also attended, some of them attended the Mercy STEM program at Mercy College, and that was fantastic because it was a bilingual program as well. And then the summer STEM program as well. The high school. Now the high school, the numbers are increasing tremendously at the high school, so everything changes every day there. And it's based on the needs of the students. So we have 3 English as a new language staff members. One of those staff members, again, is that SIFE, teacher, SIFE professional. And one thing I'm going to say about this, the high school, that's very different and very unique is for those SIFE students and those new beginner students, we offer 3 periods, 3 consecutive periods for these students. We may not have a newcomers program, but we do have a program for these kids where they come in and they sit with this teacher for 3 periods and focus on literacy skills in their native language and in English as well. We have ENL after-school program that's going to start up soon in the spring. Saturday STEM program. We are working very closely with guidance department, and that takes place in the intake process, so we ensure proper placement for these students because we have 2 pathways. We have students that are literate in their native language, and we have the SIFE students. So students that are literate in their native language receive more bilingual classes, and the SIFE placement, more literacy in their native language. We have implementation of new curriculum that's specific to the SIFE students, additional ENL courses that is going to be offered. Again, the 2 pathways, literacy and those that are literate in their native language. We have text in every subject area in Spanish and in English available to these students. Again, we have the independent reading level assessments in both English and Spanish. We do also have native language assessments, which I give in the district office. And that native language assessment gives me a lot of information. It tells me where I can start this student, what programs and what classes would match these students best. And that's how I work with the guidance department to ensure that they have proper courses.
Just a question. Mm-hmm. Where are your, both at the elementary level and the high school level, where are your after-school programs housed? Are they housed at the buildings?
At the buildings.
They are. Okay. Thank you.
Yes. For the morning program for elementary level, it's at Liberty Elementary School.
All right. Thank you.
And again, the use of the software tools such as Rosetta Stone and Achieve 3000. For parent support, this is something that's really big. Parent orientation, as I stated before, takes place. And any questions that the parents may have, they have that opportunity to ask them then, or they can call at any time to ask questions. Workshops, we're going to have workshops available for the parents in the spring, which is in conjunction with the Saturday STEM program. So while they're dropping off their kids, they will have a program available for them as well. The ability to communicate with teachers is a big plus, and this is what I hear from a lot of the parents. They're able to communicate with their bilingual teachers, especially, you know, K1 and 2. And these bilingual teachers really work closely with their parents and offer a lot of these workshops and basically PD for parents. Working with community liaisons and family resource centers, that's key here in NIAC. And partnerships with community organizations such as NIAC Center is a big one. Working with a lot of the preschools. And the NIAC website. NIAC website provides a wealth of information. Okay, the English as a new language, I'm not going to go through the whole website, but just to give some information, about the district, what's happening in the district, some beautiful pictures of what's going on in the classrooms, the bilingual programs, and also what's happening in the STEM programs. So if you click on the Read More, it can tell you more. This right here is, these are pictures of kids, our students in the high school level and the middle school level at the Mercy College STEM program. All the parent orientation videos, which is now required as part of Part 154, parents are required to receive orientation. And what I have done is I have provided them in several different languages for the parents, so all they have to do is click on their language and they can watch a whole orientation video on what ENL is all about and what bilingual programs are. I also provided a support video on how parents should be involved. And these are all things that are discussed with parents. It's just extra information for them to have and additional parent resources that is available. And then I also have a teacher resource center section here in addition to the Google Classrooms that are provided for them. Big part of this department is making general ed teachers aware of what's going on and how to support English as a new language or ELS, and helping to support them in the general ed setting. It's very difficult to have a child that does not speak English in your classroom and you cannot communicate with them. So we, as teachers and educators in this department, make sure that the teachers are provided with the tools necessary to help these children along. So again, we have the Google Classroom. I'm currently teaching a course through the NIAC Teacher Center, and the course is called Teaching ELS in grades K through 12, and I have teachers represented at every grade level in that course, and I think I'm gonna be teaching it again and again and again from what I hear. We also do a lot of, within our team, PLCs and book studies. Book studies is something that we're going to introduce starting next week.
What's PLC?
It's professional learning communities.
Okay.
And we're doing the book studies. We have two books. I'm actually doing a book with ENL and with bilingual because, again, it's different needs. We have support from the state ed. A lot of support through CUNY and their SIFE program. They come in and they support the SIFE specialists. We have American Reading Company that's coming in and supporting our teachers. We actually had a wonderful professional development session today with American Reading Company and helping us to understand how we can make our students literate in native language and also in English, and how we support them in learning English. A TREE 3000 professional development. We have a Spanish program that we use in K1 and 2 for the bilingual classes called Estrellitas, and that's another PD that the bilingual teachers are getting. And again, we have a website and all the resources that are available for them there. Okay, goals for this year. Creation of a comprehensive plan for NIAC English language learners. That's our number one goal. To expand programs to additional grade levels, the high school level especially. Orientation videos for students in the middle school and high school levels. I actually approached Dr. Montesano with this idea. I don't know if it was crazy or not, but I approached him with this idea that I wanted to create a video where the middle school students actually introduce the schools to the middle school newcomers in their native language, and also the high school students introduce the school in their native language to the students and have it as a video, because it's very difficult to pull students out of class. We never know when a new student's going to arrive. It's very difficult to pull students out of a class who speak their language, introduce them, and say, here's the school, here's a tour of the school. But if we provide a video, an orientation video for them, and it's offered and explained via their peers, it would be a more welcoming environment for them. Continue the professional development efforts and develop additional programs for the parents of English language learners. What we found is, there are some parents that are not proficient in their own native language. I'd like to offer them some support as well. And that's the end.
Audrey, I just had a question, or maybe it's an idea. My daughter Christina is taking Spanish and mentioned to me that some point in the beginning of this year, one of the kids in her classroom, and I'm not sure which class it was, I don't think it was Spanish class, but didn't speak English. And I said to her, I said, well, this is your opportunity. I said, go talk to her in Spanish. She can speak to you in English. You can practice. And actually what ended up happening was this girl, Christina had to do an oral report for her Spanish class, and this girl was, you know, correcting her, saying that's not really how you say this, this is really how you say this. Is there an effort to get those kids to help their peers, particularly when they're doing, like, the language classes? I mean, because, you know, colloquial language is different than what necessarily you're learning in textbooks, and
absolutely.
Is there an effort to sort of join these kids together and get them to actually help the kids who are learning Spanish?
Yes, absolutely. What I have done, actually, and it's not included in the goals for 2016-2017, I had asked for a list of students in Spanish classes that might be able to work with actually some of our students in various grade levels, offering them support, mentorship, tutoring, any kind of support that would help the student along. So what I have actually done is compiled a list, one of Spanish-speaking families and students, because not all of them are considered English language learners, and some that can partner up with some of the students that might be in the bilingual program and offer extra support to these students in the bilingual program. So that's something that I was doing with the Spanish-speaking students, but also for Spanish classes, advanced level Spanish classes, that would like to offer some support to some of this younger level students as well.
Great.
Other questions, Audrey?
Well, thank you so much. Oh my gosh, it is over. It's just overwhelming how much you do, how much you have going on. So thank you. I was just curious, what are some of the other languages in our district that are spoken?
Oh, we have Urdu, Bengali, Creole, French. We have Tagalog, we have Russian. We had two little new Russian students, three Russian students. They were actually in our kindergarten readiness over the summer. We also have, 13 different languages. Malayalam. Japanese. Yes, I said that.
It's pronounced
Korean.
Yeah, it's just so interesting to know. Are there any, like, if we as board members wanted to observe something that just, it's so interesting learning all this from you, and it's kind of overwhelming. It's like, it's hard to even imagine. You know, you're in your school sometimes, maybe in the elementary schools the most. You know, I know at back to school night for the high school, it was interesting sort of looking around and really seeing a lot more Hispanic families, seeing the differences in culture. I felt like a lot of Hispanic families come with, bring their kids with them to parent-teacher conferences. And so you see it, but I just feel like sometimes we listen, but we just don't see it on the ground like you do.
If there's an interest on the part of the board, you know, I do recall when we did the tours of the schools, the level of interest in the bilingual programs. You know, we could try to find a common date where board members can come and do a tour around all our schools, but focused on ENL and bilingual programming, and we can arrange it for not just Audrey to be available, but hopefully some of the students to act as your ambassadors to talk about their experiences. That'd be a great idea.
That'd be great. Thank you.
It's wonderful what's going on in these classes.
Thank you.
Trustee Mark.
The only question I have is, first of all, thanks for a great presentation. Really interesting. Thanks for the work you're doing. The elementary staff, there are 5 ENL staff members, 3 bilingual teachers, and then 2 duly certified staff members. I just wasn't clear on who those were. Are they teachers?
They're teachers.
They're other teachers.
So one of our special education teachers is duly certified. Actually, she has 3 certifications. She has special education, she has 1 through 6, and she also has ENL or TESOL.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry, did you have a question?
Trustee Marshall. Thank you. Again, I'm so grateful that you're in our district and the work of you and your team and how you figured out professional development by going to the, is it Google?
Google Classrooms.
Google Classroom. I do like the idea of the orientation video. I think if you can talk to your boss and get that funded, I think that would be...
Talk to us and we'll talk.
Yeah, so your boss will talk to his boss. Yeah, he'll talk to his boss.
I don't think it's funded. It's a good exercise. It's a good exercise for the video guys.
Yeah, I think it's really good. What is
the students at the Da Vinci Center do it.
Eventually, you're going to outgrow your real estate. So what are your future plans around real estate?
Yeah.
Because you've talked to us about it.
Yeah, certainly. A couple things, just as a broad, and I'll get to that point. And I believe the board, particularly those board members that have been with us for a few years, have an appreciation that while we had a very competent staff working with our students prior to Audrey here, I would describe it and the program was relatively adrift. There really was not that focus. At the same time, nor did we have a sizable population. In such a short period of time, and I also want to commend Dr. Gregory, who works very closely with Audrey in terms of formulating and ensuring there's an integration of our overall curriculum program. She's simply done a remarkable job. The slides that you see are chock full of meaningful text in terms of the substance behind what she's doing has been remarkable. The other point is that I don't want lost because it is budget season.
Mm-hmm.
Just the creation of bilingual programs alone have come at the expense of about a $400,000 bill to the Board of Education. Mm-hmm. And you have an extraordinarily increasing population. You see the numbers in terms of how they've increased. It's your fastest growing population. It's actually closing in on your overall special education population in the district. And the differential is that what is not happening at the state level nor the federal level is the support of those dollars you are expending. We have, I think, a total of about 87 total $1,000 that comes both through the stream of the state and the federal government. While the state changed the Part 154, which I think was an absolute blessing for our students to mandate the bilingual, it did not come with the attachment of an increase in funds. So it's very difficult to run quality programs when you in a district like this where your population is really increasing at that rate of a rate to go forward. I think I thoroughly got you off track enough to not have
to. I think you answered. We were just saying with the, because you represented an increase of 100%.
Well, the idea of the bilingual is not to add, right. Third, fourth, fifth grade right. Every year. Right. It's very probable there may be a need for third grade.
Yeah.
But eventually, because of the strength of the program, those students will be mainstream. We are not running self-contained, so mm-hmm. The additional classroom space should, really not be much more excessive than where we are. Then it's just really a staffing issue, ensuring that we have enough staff to meet the needs of the students. And as Audrey's already begun, along with Dr. Gregory's input, is identifying, in addition to having additional certificated staff, we've had a lot of support staff in the district that are bilingual as well. And adding more staff that are duly certified where that support can be given without having perhaps a need of an additional expenditure of a separate staff member giving those services. So there is an overall plan, and again, I just can't state strongly enough, and I think the board does appreciate the professional work that's been done in a very short period of time by Audrey. It's outstanding.
Ditto. Thank you.
Audrey, I had a question. I was curious about something, but before I get to that, I was so excited to see the website in the languages. Because when you kept talking about website, I'm like, I hope they're in English. I hope they're not in English.
No.
And then you get right there. That's exciting to see. Because, we talk a lot about communication means, and mm-hmm. It's good to see them having, the resources available to them. So
absolutely.
Thank you for that.
It's parent feedback, too. have feedback of what they need to see.
To see. Excellent. Excellent. Thank you so much for what you're personally giving to this program. It's incredible that, you know, little things like I act as attendance, you know, it's, you know, to see you going above and beyond like that, it truly, truly is appreciated. So we just want to let you know that. I was curious about the curriculum that New York State mandates for the SAFE students, because if they're coming in at so many levels, how do they mandate that curriculum? Is it that, so if they have a four-year gap, you do this, a seven-year gap, they do that?
It's actually not mandated by the state.
Okay.
It's a curriculum that's offered by the state. And what this curriculum does is it supports literacy skills early. So it supports literacy skills in their native language, and it also supports literacy skills in the new language, which is English.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this curriculum does. And it breaks down, when I tell you, it is probably one of the best curriculums that I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of what we do here, we follow the NIAC curriculum, and what the ENL teachers do and the bilingual teachers is just adjust their lessons to meet the needs of the students while using the NIAC curriculum.
Wow. It's highly individualized where you need to, for obvious reasons.
Absolutely.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. Any other questions? Jen Mershey?
Oh, I just had an I wonder if I wonder if we could send like a letter to our legislators or Governor Cuomo, just talking about you know, how much our numbers have increased, how much it costs us, all these things that we're doing, and just saying we're sharing this with you too.
That that issue is one that's being taken up by the Board of Regents. It's also in NISBA as an issue. I can share with you. I've already met with Assembly Zebrowski and shared with him the data that you saw tonight. Just to try to make it a little localized to us, you know. But at the same time, really what it comes down to from the state level is they're going to share with you that they have X number of dollars, and one of the other ways we're trying to get at it is to get a little bit more flexibility with what we call, you know, essentially categorical aid, where you have to, you know, they restrict you to expenditures in certain areas, where if we have a little bit more flexibility, we can adjust ourselves with a little bit more freedom to, you know, to meet the various needs that individual districts have. But any advocacy along those lines, I think, is not going to hurt us.
That's a great idea. Can we do something?
Sure, we put a resolution together or something like that to start. Or, you know,
would you do that on your behalf?
Put a few whereases. And,
would you craft it for us, or you want us to craft it?
Yeah, I'll work on one.
Thank you.
With these professionals around.
Excellent. Student rep, Indigo Gomez.
Thank you. It was a great presentation. It's, you know, in school, it's amazing to hear so many languages. As I walk down the hall, it's a cultural experience. It's really inspiring to see these numbers. In reference to what Leanne said about having the interaction between advanced, you know, the classes, advanced Spanish classes, and L's, is there a way that that could happen also with advanced French classes?
Absolutely.
And Creole?
Absolutely.
Because I know that a lot of the Haitian students with Creole, they also do speak French, especially if they did have education. Yeah, right. Formerly a buddy system thing that ended up falling through for whatever reason. But as a French student, that was really a great experience just to actually get to communicate.
Oh, absolutely. And that's something I will set something up with Ms. Aiva, and we can definitely get that going. If there was a buddy club that happened in the high school before,
yeah,
I would love to hear about it, and maybe we can get that going again, for sure. Okay.
Any further questions? Audrey, thank you once again.
Thank
you.
Great,
thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Please go. Get home safely. I know you've got a trip.
Yes.
And thank you to Kelly Chilson as well.
Yeah. Kelly, thank you.
Thank you. I want to say thank you. I've been from the Board of Education, and nothing's like teaching up here at L. So thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Listen to us and you support us. It's the best.
You're right. Great. Thanks. Good
thank
night.
Thank you.
Dr. Montesano.
Yes, next the workshop is just an introduction to the draft calendar, and again, to share with the board that calendar several weeks ago has been distributed to all the various groups within the district, such as the PTA Council, your collective bargaining groups. Our students have had access to it. I'm meeting tomorrow with the PTA Council. I really haven't had very little feedback. It's a pretty straightforward calendar. Certainly, any board comments, I would anticipate having it at an action item after February 7th meeting so that we can get that out to the parents to begin their planning for the next summer time and things of that sort.
Thank you.
Moving along, the next item is budget goals, and I want to give you a little bit of information with regard to budget outlook going into next year. We are beginning to get really into, you know, rolling up our sleeves and getting more deeply involved. You know, as always, some of the just parameters of the goals are to ensure that we have the ability to maintain the established guidelines the state, the Board of Education has with regards to class sizes. Obviously, we want to meet, or we've been able to secure coming in below the tax cap the last several years. And certainly, I know the board has an interest in keeping in that same trend. Meeting the various numerous state and federal mandates, providing resources to support the district goals, the Board of Education goals, protect and maintain the highly effective programs that we have established, and always looking for cost-saving efficiency measures. I will likely very shortly introduce something that we've been working on of looking at some other ways to generate energy efficiencies, which will include an alternate look at solar that we had tried the first go around. And we have a different company and a different approach that we're looking to do, and we're not quite finished with that process, but I do hope to bring that to the board's attention over the next several weeks. With regard to the budget, as where we are now, the CPI has been established at 1.26. This will represent the fourth consecutive year where it's dipped well below the 2% mark, and that plays a big role with us. We are, the CPI is not your tax levy. There is a 8-step formula that generates your tax levy. I anticipate that it will go up a little bit above the 1.26, but probably not anything really significant. In addition, the foundation aid, while it does look like there'll be an increase, I would suggest to you that it's a very insignificant increase. It looks to be, you know, hovering a little bit of $100,000 when we extract some of the other, you know, BOCES aidables and things that are built into that. And when you look at it in terms of, you know, it, to me, it's still remarkable to me how budget processing works in, under the tax cap world versus the previous world that I used to work in, because it really is revenue-based. And the available revenues that the board is going to have for itself, it looks like, will hover just above $1 million increase to the overall budget. And while on the surface that sounds somewhat optimistic, we have been meeting with the Empire State Health Benefit Provider, which does represent in this district about an $8.8 million expenditure, line item expenditure, to provide employees with all the various benefits. That increase is going to be a double-digit increase. It looks like it's going to be 11 to 12%. That singular increase line item looks like it's going to come in about $950,000 of an increase, which will, in essence, absorb any additional dollars of revenue that you're going to have. And that's not, you know, looking at other labor costs that we know exist, you know, energy costs and things like that. So I don't want to present a gloom and doom because it's still early in the game. I know the legislators still have to get at the governor's proposal, so perhaps there may be some alternative views coming out of the legislature that might give us some additional revenue. It's needed. But at the same time, we're already starting to look at the budget with a different set of eyes in terms of what, you know, what are our priorities, and if there are, you know, reductions that need to be made that we typically do in a rollover budget, we're going to have to really look with a keen eye, and I anticipate the board may be more deeply involved in the budgeting process as we go forward. So that's just a brief outlook, and you know, it's a fluid, dynamic process, and we'll keep you informed as we go forward.
Jim, question on the health benefits that are going up. Yeah,
The company that we use, is it sort of your bog standard health company that provides for schools? Do we check? Do we go out to the market for
better
rates?
Well, you're in the largest, I'll just give you some insight, and how a no decision actually was a good decision several years ago when the tax cap first came out. You are in the Empire State Plan, which is the largest coalition of school district municipalities in the state of New York. The benefit to that is, you know, the way insurance premiums work, it's all based on claims and experience. Usually when you're in a larger pool, the fluctuation is going to be lesser than if you're in a small, restrictive pool. You know, in essence, all the rates are going up for various plans. In New Jersey, there was a state health benefits program in addition to several other options. And a lot of times what districts would do would jump into the state plan, and then somebody would try to attract you by giving you a lowball premium, and you jump into that plan, then next year you jump back in, you know, there's that game. There's more limited options in New York State. We did make an attempt several years ago when the tax cap first came out to join what appeared to be an advantageous pool, primarily of Orange County school districts that were, we looked at their claim experiences, they had very favorable ones. So you want to be with a district that's very healthy, you know, has had good claim experiences. And it just simply didn't happen. They had a governing board that had to accept us before we even got to the point of even bringing it to the board level for some discussion. So we were shut out of it. And I think this year those rates of that district are going, that coalition is going up like 19% or something. So, you know, we dodged a bullet even though we didn't intend to. So, you know, it's a real gamble when you start moving about. And Empire does have a pretty good claim experience rating over a period of time. You know, this just happens to be one of those years that's more difficult. Your pension contributions are going, you know, have stabilized. We're going to pick up a few dollars, not as many dollars as last year. And there's a few other things that we're looking at to try to, you know, see where we can go without even having to come to the board with, you know, some issues with regard to, you know, more significant reductions that may need to be done. And just a reminder that, you know, those of you that have been on the board for a few years, you know that we have really done a lot of cost-saving measures in concert with the board over several years, abolishing positions, et cetera. You know, there's only so many of those, you know, rabbits that you can pull out of your hat when you get to the point where you're out of moves in terms of where you can go. So, you know, that's just kind of where we think we are at the moment.
Okay. Any other questions for Jim?
I just wanted to make sure that I got the language right, that it's sure. that the tax cap looks like it's going to give us about $1 million.
No. More specifically, the cap probably will be around, you know, and again, that's a maximum mm-hmm. without exceeding the cap, you know, if that's where the board, you know, chooses to be, is about $830,000 we're anticipating. The additional mm-hmm. revenue, well, no, let me rephrase this. The base of looking at 1.26, which is the CPI, generates about, if you multiply that by our $67 million tax levy, which is in that ballpark, that generates about $830,000.
I'm sorry, what was it?
$830,000. Okay. When you also then calculate the actual calculation, the eight-step formula, and primarily it's based upon your brick and mortar within mm-hmm. the communities that make up our center of the district, there's probably about another $250,000 above the CPI where your tax rate can go in terms of your max. Then you add the foundation aid, which is another additional $100,000, again, based on the governor's proposed foundation aid budget. That gets you up to about $1.2 million.
Got it.
Then I'm also saying just the one line item alone is about a $950,000 increase expenditure in your health benefits without looking about any other fixed increases that the board is you know, certainly going to be locked into.
Thank you.
Okay.
Good numbers to understand.
Any other questions? No? Thank you, Jim.
Your turn.
Okay, update on our Board of Education goals. So I know Damon Bender, Trustee Bender, had sent out, okay, that's a couple things, sorry. I sent out a revised list of goals. based on the discussions last time and where we are. So if we could take a quick look at that. I think everybody has it in their inbox. If I could get to my inbox, I'm going to help. Oh, I should have got a hard copy. So what we had done, just to recap, so the new member starter guide, Terence, I think that was yours, right? No, I don't think it was due today. I can't remember when it was due.
Yeah, I don't think
I couldn't hear it on the podcast. Okay. So
I think I have till the next board meeting, which is February 7th.
Yeah, I think we have till February, yeah, to get that done. All right. Well, no, we had time on that because we just needed that for when we, if we have new board members, we want to have it prepped. Right. So yeah, when we have the vote.
Yeah, I want to bring a draft ahead of time.
For discussion. So.
And
right.
Dr. Montesano is partnering with that. He started. Thank you.
You got my email?
Yes, I did.
Okay, good.
They're on track. That's my update.
I like that. Okay, so moving on to the second one, which we inserted at the last meeting, the BOE District Event Participation is what I've called it. And I made a suggestion, now what I've called the description is establish optimal BOE attendance at district events throughout the school year. I added to this, just for your consideration, that it's not just district events, it's also outside events. Mm-hmm. So things like the NAACP dinner, the Lower Hudson Valley joint dinner, the legislative mm-hmm. breakfast. So probably if you could throw those on the tracker as well, that would be good if everybody's in agreement that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, so Damon and Michael, we'll do that. So while we're on this one, and then what I did was just clear up on here, was the goal specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and timely. So I've updated the commentary there, and on this one, let me finish on this. Ensure that we're achieving the desired level of attendance at all district and outside events. Develop an event tracker to facilitate coordination. So that's the specifics. The measurable, achieve optimal BOE attendance as outlined in the tracker. So clearly you will have that, and that's how we'll be able to measure it. What I was suggesting is that perhaps I put that maybe at the last BOE meeting of each month. We don't have to do that. We could find another way. Looking forward at the calendar for the events in the upcoming months,
yeah.
So that we can be prepared. But we could talk a little bit more about that. Is it attainable? Yes, I believe it is. Is it realistic? Does anybody feel it's not? You think it's realistic? Well, we'll look at the details. And then timely, we'll measure it throughout the school year. Yeah. So with that, shall we go through what you sent out? Did everybody get a chance to look at Damon's... Any commentary on that? So we won't go through it in detail. I thought
it was very well organized, trusted vendor. I have a question.
Would you like to just talk about
it? Yeah, I mean, essentially, it's just a basic spreadsheet that, as you alluded to, is designed to track attendance at events. Again, there's no summaries at the trustee level because it's not really tracking who's going where. It's just trying to determine whether or not we've got the desired level of attendance at mm-hmm. events that the board deems are important enough to have membership at or attendance at. Mm-hmm. Very simple technology involved. You click an X in the box. If we hit our optimal attendance, mm-hmm. the column turns green and says yes. If we don't have it, the column will remain red and
technology.
Say no. And obviously, in preparing this initial draft, being the new guy on the board, I threw some numbers in a box, hoping that the optimal attendance number that was there would seem amenable to the rest of the folks on the board. But obviously, that I think should be reviewed and updated as needed, as well as you alluded to, addition of additional events. I know Michael and I had spoken earlier, and we thought, athletic events and the like should also be added. So clearly a working draft, which I think the knowledge and input from the rest of the board members who have been on a lot longer than myself will be insightful.
Okay. Any comments back to Damon?
Question.
Yeah. Trustee Marshall.
Thank you. All right, so the first one I went through it, I'm like, this doesn't make sense. And I went through it again and said, oh, I see where he's getting his numbers from. But how did you arrive at the optimal number?
That was literally just a stab in the dark based on,
Okay.
I had promised to go through and look at it and maybe tweak a little bit and ran into some...
I was just wondering about that.
Some personal, I had some personal family issues that got me off on another track.
And then on your spreadsheet, you have agreeing where there's a zero optimal board attendance. Is that something in the spreadsheet where
we've reached the
optimal
goal?
Attendance is zero.
If we have zero in the optimal attendance, mm-hmm. then and there are no check boxes, mm-hmm. then obviously our desired attendance at zero is achieved. No one is attending, so it turns green.
Okay, which we would need to change that. You want to achieve attendance. You don't want to.
If the desired attendance at the event is zero, then we're in compliance. I don't want to say in compliance.
But there were some events that looking at them, we didn't know if we really thought the board needed
set
itself
sense.
A goal of attending that event.
I think one of them is prom, and I don't think that any of the kids want us
so
at prom.
Can I make a suggestion? Don't think we've got to be a little sensitive here, right?
Sure.
Because things like prom would agree.
Right.
But then I saw some other events at local schools. So mm-hmm. are you saying, well, we don't think we need to attend your event? we think we should attend this event. So I think we should either just take them off.
Yeah.
Just eliminate them so we don't get the.
Yeah. One of the comments I probably should have said up front is the events that are on this now came directly from the district calendar that Linda had sent over, I didn't think I should leave anything off until mm-hmm. everyone had a chance to review.
That's what I
would how do people feel about that with the zeros?
Events at different.
I'm just a little confused. Like, there's not a lot of events on here.
It goes by month.
You have to click.
Sorry, what am I missing here?
There are tabs along the bottom here.
Well, you
now it makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, you put high school music. Go ahead, Jim. Sorry.
I think we all need to review and see if where it says zero should it be a zero, because we may wind up making that a one or a two or whatever.
Right. Yeah. I could give you my mindset, but I don't think it's
just as an example. Mm-hmm. When I took a first look at this, I think it would be laudable if all board members could attend the first day board of education visits.
Yep.
But a lot of times people are working, so setting a goal of all seven board members might not be realistic.
Right. Right.
You put in four or five,
and
it's a reasonable thing to expect. The two things I was going to ask, things like the elementary school moving up ceremonies. We had put in some attendance of a couple of board members. But those take place sometimes at 9:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So setting that as a goal to have a couple of board members might not necessarily be realistic. But we could have one board member commit to coming.
Oh, no, that makes sense.
You know, that kind of thing. So we were thinking we'd go through and tweak that. And I don't know, maybe we get a list, some kind of a list of the sporting events for next year from the athletic department.
And I actually just asked Mr. Johnson for a listing of the middle school events personally, because I'd like
it's
to attend with my son.
It's actually on the website.
Is it?
If you look at the athletic department, it's got
I'm sure he'll link.
And there are tons of them.
There's so many.
But that's the thing. And the thing is to make a determination of how we want to set a goal for ourselves in terms of participation, because it's hard to go to all of them. And yet, when the number of times, it's pretty. You have a high expectation that people go to the football games and some of the bigger events. I know there was a point in time when the lacrosse team was doing great, and I had the chance to show up at one of the games, and I know that it was appreciated. You know, that was nice as a board member here.
Keep in mind, you have 24 varsity athletic teams.
Yeah.
So and that's just varsity. What about JV? What about modified?
Right. So it is a little question of how to do that, but I think it'd be nice to figure out a way to have some recognition of the athletic
teams. Yeah, maybe it's something representative of the sport. Yep. You know, maybe things like when Joe says, hey, you know, we've made the playoffs.
Right.
We say, well, you know what? That's something we'll commit. We'll try and commit to.
Right. The only other thing I would add is, or at least I would suggest, is to not look at this as a line-by-line goal, more so holistically as a goal. Look, you know, there's so many events.
Yeah.
To get the desired attendance at every single event probably isn't reasonable, and I would say probably not even achievable.
Right, but when you set goals, they're metric-based, right? So are they? How do you measure success? Do we say... Yeah. So I totally agree with you, right? Because that's the practical side of it.
Well,
but what do we deem success at the end of the year?
Yeah, I think you have to look at it in terms of multi-year. Since we haven't done it yet, we're not really sure how we can respond to this.
Right.
That if we go through this and see what kind of... We set some goal that feels like it's reasonable.
Okay, so we'll state that it's aspirational, right? And then
at the moment,
it becomes a bit more refined and
targeted. If we can, we may never get to it. It may always remain aspirational. But
maybe.
I think it's good, the intention's good.
I was going to say, if we can idea maybe just to bucket all the sporting events, and we just, if there's 200 of them, our goal is 20% throughout the year.
Well, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Something like that.
But I don't think, we've tried a number of times over the years to figure out a way to systematize the idea of having board members be visible at events where it would be nice that board members were visible, and we've never really taken a stab at actually doing it.
Right.
So I think it is, well, like you say, aspirational. You start somehow and see what we can achieve, and then you set more realistic goals.
Well, what's great about this, and certainly this spreadsheet, it's a look-ahead view, right?
Oh, yeah.
If we've got it in there, because that's the problem I have. It's like, oh, my God, it's next week Tuesday. You know, this just, I think, helps us as a board just become a bit more structured around it, right?
That, and we talked about using the Outlook calendar.
Yeah.
So, you know, incumbent upon who, I don't know, maybe it's the clerk or maybe it's somebody on the board, where it's now you're actually looking ahead and sending out those invites, so it actually pops up on their calendars rather than having to go back to this tracker or something along those lines, so that we're using technology.
What's a calendar would be good is that as board members you can say I will be attending, right? So everybody, because you get to accept the invite,
right?
The invite goes to everybody.
That's right.
Well, the list will appreciate it because the emails go.
Oh, so we get Linda to maintain a calendar. We'll get her to put them in. Oh, you've just signed her up. Thank you, Jim. But no, that's good. And it's something we can go back to. It's Microsoft, so it's downloadable in some form that we could look at it. But this is a good start. Thank you so much for doing this. So next steps on this is everybody gets look through this
detailed list.
We get some feedback back to these guys. Do we put it on the agenda? I don't want a heavy workshop item again. Well,
can I suggest we can all look at it, obviously, but maybe we can. You can get some of the we can get the sports events and just figure out a way to cull them in here. And if you'd like, I mean, I can go through and just with the time I've spent doing this thing, look and see, well, maybe we can have this kind of a goal, this kind of a goal, so that we have something else to start with.
So you refine it before we all plunge in.
I'm not sure. You might want to check with Joe. I think his already might be Outlook-based. I'm not sure. I know he puts them on those Twitters. That looks like
you get a feed. Yeah, you get a feed when you send them.
So it might save you some time. Is my comment.
The thing is, how to do it. Seeing it on Outlook is great. I don't know. Can you use Outlook the way this spreadsheet is set up? Or what's so good about this is, you have a place where you can go, I'm going to this one, I'm checking it off, and then we can see how we're reaching our goals.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You can actually do that in Outlook on Outlook calendar. We can set up a BOE calendar. As a matter of fact, I have set up a BOE calendar.
Uh-huh.
That's accessible to us. Everybody could see it. What I was saying is that I think if it's Microsoft, there's going to be a way to dump it and get the information. It may not look exactly like that. But let's crawl before we walk, right? Get this refined. Let's use the spreadsheet. And then go from there, and then we want to operationalize it at some point in time, right?
So we'll go with the idea of taking the zero ones off the list.
If you really, really think they're zero, right? You make the first stab at it, right?
Yeah, I definitely think there are some that are zero. You know, back to school night, obviously, if no one on the board has student in that school or in a school, there's really not, having been to back to school nights, I think we can all agree there's really not an opportunity for a board member to be there,
and yet
because there's so much going on.
It's funny because that was the one I was gonna bring up. That it's, I think there's an opportunity, certainly at the elementary level, for people who aren't familiar with the school board, for a school board member to be there and just go, "Hi, I'm a school board
member.
That's
actually not
this
a bad
is what
idea.
We do."
I like that.
I used to say, "We're the school board member, we're the guys that make the rules that run the schools."
Right.
And this is the pecking order, go talk to your teacher, your principal, your that, superintendent.
Because VCE...
It takes about 45 seconds, and you're out of there.
Because VCE does that assembly, which I've now skipped because my kids are older, but they do have that assembly up front, and they rotate it between first K through 3 or whatever it is, and so there is a forum for that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I like that idea. All right. Let's throw it on there. All right.
Cool.
Good, so we'll leave that with you. If anybody does have feedback, though, don't wait to hear back.
Yeah,
if you've
please.
Got any feedback at all.
Feel free to, to columns to the right, yeah. Just put a number you think should be, and we'll take it under advisement, I guess. Or I'll just put it in there because you guys know more than me.
All right, good. Onwards and upwards. Executive session confidential information breaches. Your glasses and can't see. Nothing there. I think that remains the same. So the specific is zero tolerance. The measurable at the end of the school year, there will be zero breaches. Is it attainable? Yes. Realistic? Yes. Timely. When do we want to accomplish it? Throughout each member's tenure on the board. Yeah? Reasonable? Mm-hmm. Okay. Any questions on that one? I think mm-hmm. that one's self-explanatory. Jen, Leanne, and I worked on BOE training, and I sent out a doc today. Don't propose we go through it. It's got a number of references. But essentially what we thought the training goals should be, board members would take a minimum of one training course, online, e-learning, webinar, seminar, workshop per year, from NISBA's school board U, or from NISBA's, the other NISBA's, offerings. Each BOE member will attend a NISBA or NISBA, the states, or the broader
national,
board conference, or the national conference, at least once during their three-year term. So we figured we wouldn't restrict it to every year, everybody's mm-hmm. trying to go, you know, once in 3 years. Each BOE member, and Jane came up with this, I thought was great, each BOE member will attend a diversity training course at least once during their three-year term. Just having done the Undoing Racism workshop and how intense that was, and the training there, I think once in 3 years is good. And then the BOE will conduct custom board retreats twice per year. I actually saw that as training listed on NISBA's sites, and we do it, so I figured we would have that there. And again, specific BOE members now, BOE members of their own accord will, and convenience, will sign up for and attend training per the stated goal. Right? I haven't thought of a tracker yet, but I think we can self-police ourselves and we know what we've got to do.
You need a tracker?
No, I do not. Oh, you've got a tracker? Not only that, it comes back, because if you do the NISBA, Leanne was pointing out, you get those certificates.
Yeah, you get the certificates.
So if you don't get a certificate, we will call you out.
No, but if I can just...
Please, yes.
I just want to encourage all of you. I know I have gone to the national conference a number of years, and I know it can be expensive, but and it also is usually involving a weekend of travel. But I have found them to be incredibly valuable.
Yeah.
Not only just from the different courses you can take and the different site visits you can do, but just learning about issues and concerns across the country and other schools. They're really, really worth doing. And I think, you know, you get resources from doing it. You get links, you get information, but also on top of that, I've come back from these things and someone presents me a certificate saying, oh, I've got 75 hours of training, which entitles me to free webinars. So you get, once you do those things, like when you're talking about doing an online course or something like that, that's not something you're not necessarily going to have to pay for, because we have all those certificates floating around. When you get a free webinar, I think probably they're transferable. So you can take my free webinar certificate and log on.
I think
on an airplane while you're flying.
No, it's been great.
Or
I know.
Stop back on the
Trustee
where the
Bender and I
on
got certificates and think vouchers for training for going to the new member orientation.
I think so.
With our cohort, right. President Hughes.
Mm-hmm. And I was going to add along those lines that I think the NISBA webinars that they offer are great. There was
the
one.
State one?
New York State mm-hmm. NISBA. There was one webinar I think today at noon about legislative advocacy,
I
had a meeting, but they're all
I saw that.
They're all taped. So the one before that was also just kind of about all the details about our elected representatives and advocacy, and you can watch them in little bursts here and there. They're all free.
Yeah.
What I did was, if you look through this and you can find it yourself, I've got the links to NISBA, and I was impressed. There's a whole list of courses. So again, you know, it's pick your poison, right?
Just one comment on I guess it's bullet point number one for I think which refers to all those
Diversity training?
Not the diversity training. You call the BO members take a minimum of one training course, e-learning, webinar, seminar from NISBA's School Board U or from NSBA's offerings, right? So I'm fine with that as long as we might be willing to consider substitutes. And the reason why I ask is because I've raved about KPMG and how good they are to their employees. So I've got free membership to PLI, which is the Practicing Law Institute. Mm-hmm. So I can take as many online courses and live courses as I want to count towards my continuing legal education credits. And I'm currently registered for the 17th Annual School Law Institute. I think it mainly deals with federal, and they probably might weave in a little bit of New York as well, but something like that, which would satisfy...
So, or other accredited organizations.
You know what, we don't even have to put in there.
No, I'm joking about that.
I like that.
I was going to say, you might want to take notes in pencil because the federal laws on schools are changing pretty
much. Got it.
No, that's a good idea because today, sorry, just as I was typing this, I got an email come through. I don't even know I was part of this organization, which was something on... I'll find it. I think about the New York State budgets. It wasn't legislature, but it was something that I'm a group of. I get these emails. So, yeah, I think you're right. So we'll, yes, wherever you can find them, so long as they're appropriate. You can't go take a Java course and say I'm programming. But obviously, like I said, this is something I think we can self-police pretty easily. Yep. But, yes, I'll modify that to include that.
Yeah. Thank you, President.
I think I had benefits also. I'm not sure if it gelled into your, but... I was wondering if the district is having certain professional development seminars or things that would be useful to us as well. Could we jump in on and attend those as well?
Yeah, some very, well, obviously like the Undoing Racism, this is one example, which we do plan to start to incorporate our in-service programming. But, certainly. You know, there's a lot of generic things we do on, sexual harassment and various topics like that that I think is positive for all school board members to
Okay.
Courses. All right. Made notes. All right, and that was it. So I think we've got four goals. I like where we've landed. I think they're, haven't stretched us too much. Thank you so much for the enthusiasm we've thrown into this. Trustee Marshall, you're not on any of these goal settings. I know you were away. You're kindly away at the meeting.
Your assignment.
Yeah, I'm supposed to assign you. But feel free to jump in if there's anything you want to add to any one of them. We'd love to hear your input, obviously, on any of these.
Terrence, which one are you want to have to give?
Board orientation. Please join the party.
Join the committee.
It's like I've been there, done that. See, that's what you get when you miss a meeting. You get the scrap. But thanks everyone. So let's see how we develop. We'll figure out whether this needs to come back on for further workshop discussion as we progress, and then go from there. All right. Thanks, everyone. Dr. Montesano.
Yeah, the last one is class ranking, and I don't know how much the board wants to engage tonight in the topic. You certainly, it's up to you what you want to do. I don't sense any urgency in terms of getting closure. We can certainly kick it to the February meeting. Most importantly, I want to make sure everybody got the results of the survey, and I want to thank Indigo for getting that out to the kids. 156 responses, I think, is really terrific. That's a real, it's about a 15% response rate, almost 16%. We did share with you, Lorraine Long, our director of guidance, had made a contact to get some great, more information for the board with regard to Clarkstown decision to move away from ranking.
Yep.
And how that looked in terms of things. So I'll just throw it back at you in terms of whether you want to, it's about 10 after 9 if you want to continue the discussion tonight on this, you want some time to review it and put in a further agenda, whatever you all prefer.
I just can't help pointing out one thing. The question that says, do you think class rank can negatively affect a student's mental health? And 72% of student responses said yes. But then the next one says, do you believe our school should continue to use class rank? And half of them still said yes. So I just thought that was interesting.
And then we're probably no closer to a definitive decision than
it doesn't
we
look like it. It's 51-49 or something like that. That's what you came up with.
I'm actually like really curious why. I mean, I thought it was amazing how split it was. Like 51-49 out of 150 people. Like that's, I don't know, it's very, it's wild. But I am confused how 70% believe that there is some negative effect yet. You know,
that 20%
of those people are still willing to keep it.
Right.
So does it mean you just sort of like, yeah, I recognize the negative effects, but the positive effects overrule it? Or is it kind of just like, I don't really know what to do, I might as well just keep it the way it is. So, and what it is interesting, and I don't know if I can do this or not, but we do have two written response questions. So I believe one was, if you could modify the system, what would you change it to? And in that case, I was just from my own memory, as I was looking through it, a lot of kids were just saying if they were to change it, instead of it being everyone ranked, it would be the top 10 or top 5 people ranked, which I thought was just a odd response. As well, so I'm kind of like,
you don't care.
Yeah, and I'd be interested to look also at the kids that said, I'd like to look at the written responses of the kids that said that it had a negative response, that it has a negative effect, but also said to keep it. Why
What's
they
the
don't,
rationale?
Yeah, what is the rationale? And if there is one, yes. if it's just kind of like, whoa. I'm really interested. It did not come out the way I didn't know what to expect, but this was not what I expected.
Interesting, though.
Interesting.
It's very divided, clearly.
It looks like the board.
Do we want to absorb this some more?
Well, given the hour, do we want to just. I would love,
and the
love
roads.
Like this. And the what?
And the really bad road condition out there.
Oh, yeah. You have it. So, and it's Dave's been here since, what, 6:30? 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
So yeah. So and I wanted to hear from you, but I think that it would be better if the board agrees.
Yeah.
And would we have time then to hear from Stacy? I get her last name.
She's a Clarkstown person. Right?
Yeah. I can certainly invite her to the board meeting. I don't know, you know. What.
Yeah. Well, down the road, we're going to have another discussion about this.
All right, so what time
is
this?
She's not our employee. I mean,
I see what you're saying. Oh, I see. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, she's giving us feedback. Yeah. I get your point.
Consulting. But honestly, a better way to do it.
What's the better method?
Questions, you know, based on the blurb that you saw.
Yeah.
Some follow-up questions or some additional information you'd like to see.
Yeah, I thought she made an important point because she goes, even though we moved to a decile, we were still able to rank. That was kind of a point that she made. So it's almost like
it's not a ranking; it's just a more broader range ranking.
Broader,
the point was that I think the reason they moved away from that was A, it still represented a form of ranking.
Right. That's what she represented.
A more accurate way to rank is more traditionally, because in a ranking, like she used, the first decile was in that district was like a 4.6 GPA to a 4.1. The 4.1 students getting the same decile ranking,
right.
While if it was a traditional rank, there might be 10, 11 spaces in terms of the actual ranking.
We probably should move it to next meeting.
So yeah, but if there are some follow-up questions you want to extract from, you know, either Dave or Lorraine or from, if you throw them our way, we can better prepare you for your discussion.
Okay, good. So we'll table that. Yeah? If you're comfortable with that? Okay, wonderful. Okay, moving on. Action items. Do we any citizens' proposals, questions, and concerns on action items?
We all left.
There are no citizens.
We have one citizen.
You have the issue.
More importantly, you're not a tenured principal.
Maybe somebody.
Oh!
Let's write down who you were for a second.
Thanks, Indigo.
There we go.
Thank you, Michael. Good thinking. It's writing down. Moved.
Do we have a motion to accept action item 3.2, special education recommendations?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Discussion?
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained?
Abstained.
Not for the record, that on action item 3.2, special education recommendation, we have 6 trustees in favor and an abstention by trustee Damon Bender. Dr. Montesano, anything on business functions to call out?
No.
Okay, thank you. Do we have a motion to accept business action items 4.1 to 4.4 and 4.6 to 4.8?
Motion.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Motion carries. Do we have a motion to accept business action item 4.5, application for refund and credit of real property taxes?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Thank you. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained?
Abstained.
Please note for the record that on business action item 4.5, application for refund and credit of real property taxes, we have 6 trustees in favor, an abstention by trustee Irvin. Motion carries. Dr. Montesano, personnel.
Yes, there's really nothing that I want to really point out to the board with regard to these appointments.
Okay. Do we have a motion to accept action items, personnel items 5.1 to 5.5?
Motion.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Motion carries. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
We are adjourned.